Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our website is filled with more encouraging interviews, all accessible at myfaithradio.com.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Do it live.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental. The relationship doctor is sometimes what they call me. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and usually I'm here with my co-host, Chris Weigel, but he's been busy this week at the National Association of Broadcasters in Las Vegas, of all places. So I'm going to solo today and just have a conversation with you. And every week we are here on Saturdays, and we're doing life together with you, and we're just so glad that you joined me and join us normally on these Saturday mornings. Listen, I hope you enjoyed that interview that we had last week with Kay Arthur. Got a lot of feedback from people online. She's a powerful woman of God. She has phenomenal things to say. And so if you want to listen to that interview, if you missed it, or you want to go back, as several of you emailed me and said, I want to hear it again because there were so many good things that were being said, you can go to my page on Faith Radio and you can just click on the audio that's there. They have a page with my name on it. You go to program to Dr. Linda Mental Show and it will come up and you can certainly click on the audio and listen to it at any time. And also, I do want you to be a part of this conversation each week. And the way you can do that is you can send in a comment or a question on that Faith Radio page, or you can go to social media and you can interact with us that way. I have a Facebook account that is Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. And several of you use that to email us comments, especially because every week we post a question that you can interact with us over. This week's question was, what do you think when you hear the words, we need to talk? Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I also want to let you know, and a couple of you have used Twitter as well. My Twitter handle is at Dr. Linda Helps. And that's another way that you can join in on the show and you can post your comments and we read those. We don't have to read your name. We usually use first names only, but we love to read your comments because we want to know how you're thinking about the topics that we're bringing up. Most of the time, the topics will be relational because I'm the relationship doctor and because that's the focus of this show. So you can email a question, a comment. You can answer the weekly question on the Faith Radio page or on those social media sites. Well, this week we are going to talk about my new book, which is We Need to Talk. And it's a great title, I think, because it gets people starting to respond to that question. So here's what we did. We went out, and you're going to hear several of these. We went out and we had Erica, our woman on the street, go out and ask people when they hear those four words, we need to talk, what do they think? And so we got several comments that we're going to play in a few minutes. And we also got comments from you, as we've been talking about, on social media. So here was one of the ones that came from Twitter from Ivania. She said, it always makes me feel like, uh-oh, what did I do? And then she wrote blessings. So she was thinking about that, those four words. Think about those four short words, we need to talk. Her reaction was actually a very common reaction for so many of you that send in comments. Bruce said, and I love this one. He said, I want to turn and run because nothing good can come from that comment. And I was surprised. I was really surprised when I was reading through all the comments that came in at how similar men and women were on the answer to this question, because I really expected the women to be much more embracing of this idea than the men. But as we'll see, as we'll hear, as we go through today's show, the comments were pretty equal in terms of it being a very sort of negative statement that people were responding to. Most people don't get these warm, fuzzy, positive feelings. I didn't have anybody write in and say, wow, yes, this is definitely a good thing. I do want to talk. And yet it's so important that we learn how to deal with conflict. The reason I'm doing this show is because it's actually one of the most important life skills that you could ever develop. So if you've had that conversation, if you have a boss, actually, I had my boss pull me into a meeting. Now, he didn't know I was going to do this show, but he pulled me into a meeting. Actually, it was on Thursday that he pulled me in. And he said those four words, we need to talk. And I have to admit that even though I wrote a book on this, and I know that dealing with conflict is a good thing, I had that momentary in my stomach, and I thought, uh-oh, am I in trouble? And I was in my head going through, now, what have I done? What could I have possibly done wrong? Turned out that the meeting was really just problem solving something. It really wasn't anything negative. But I think that anxious, uncomfortable response that I had was pretty normal for most of us. So the problem is that most of us don't want to talk. And we do have that very negative reaction to those four words. And yet conflict is very normal. It's a part of every single relationship. If you are in relationship with somebody, and unless you live on an island and you're all by yourself, you are in relationship with several people. Conflict is a normal part of every single relationship. So we have to get the view in our heads that conflict is normal, and it isn't something that needs to be feared, because it's something that we're going to encounter in every single relationship, whether that's a parent-child, a boss to an employee, a friend to a friend, a husband to a wife, or just people that you might even meet in settings in church. A lot of church people have issues with each other that they need to resolve. So we're going to look at that not only from a psychological perspective, but a biblical perspective as well. The reason that conflict is so important is that it can grow our intimacy in a relationship. So just think about that for a moment. If you have conflict with somebody and you have the courage and you feel like you have the skills to go to that person and deal with that issue, the relationship really has the potential to grow. You can solve a problem. You're not carrying around resentment and bitterness or anything that's negative in your heart because you've had that confidence. So I want you to be able at the end of this show to say, all right, I'm embracing the positivity of those four words. We need to talk. I'm going to grow my relationships, not think that conflict is going to destroy it. And I'm going to realize that it's not whether or not I do have conflict in a relationship, but how I deal with it. So more about that in a minute.
When someone tells you we need to talk, what first comes to mind?
That something bad's about to happen, because what do we really need to talk about that you just can't say without me asking that question?
We need to talk.
Here we go again.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong.
This is gonna be a long night.
Oh no. Not again.
What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, we need to talk, puts most of us on the defensive. We need to talk takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind we need to talk is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mintel's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
What do you think when you hear the words, we need to talk?
Well, it scares me, and I think the worst possible things ever. And then I think I start to prepare myself for what that person could possibly say and how I could fix it.
Ah, another person who's a little bit fearful of conflict. I think we're going to see that as a theme in the responses that we got from people. Here's what Elaine said on Facebook. She had a really quite in-depth response. She said, in the beginning of my marriage, I confess, my stomach would not, and I would think I had done something wrong. Now, after almost 10 years of my marriage, my stomach doesn't know. I just ask, okay, what's going on? Because it may have nothing to do with me or the marriage. But if it does, I know my husband's aim isn't to lay blame or start a fight, but it means there's an issue that we as a couple need to address. So I love that from Elaine, because what Elaine is really getting at here is that after 10 years of marriage, she's pretty much figured out that she can trust her husband, and that when he comes to her and he wants to talk about an issue, that she doesn't have to have that same kind of fear or that knot in her stomach anymore, because she trusts that there's going to be a process that's going to happen here, and they're going to get to either a solution or they're going to agree to disagree, which is sometimes the result of trying to deal with conflict, but that the process itself isn't going to be scary. And that's really the purpose of today's show, is to give you a few tools to help you along the way so that when you have the need to talk to someone, that you go into that not fearful. Now, one of the things that is different from what Elaine is saying is that sometimes we're dealing with people that we don't trust, that we might not have a great relationship with. And that's one of the reasons that conflict resolution can be so scary. Because if you're not sure how that person is going to respond, if you don't really know them well, or you know that they're pretty insecure, or they're a difficult person to deal with, then approaching someone like that is a little bit fearful. You can be a little bit fearful at times or a little bit anxious. But I would still encourage you to deal with your part of the conflict presentation, because it's your part that you control. It's how you come at a person that really is going to set the tone for how you're going to deal with things. Sherry said on Facebook, I expect difficulty. And Clark said, and this kind of relates to what I just said a moment ago, it depends on who I need to talk to and the tone of their voice. So let's just talk a minute about the tone of the voice, because the tone of someone's voice really does make a difference. The research shows that if you start a conflict kind of harsh, if you come at somebody in a blaming way, if you begin a conflict with criticism, the only thing that's going to happen is that other person is going to be defensive, and you're not going to get very far in that conversation. So a harsh startup to a conflict is a way for that conflict to go south and to not be dealt with very well. Instead, what you want to do is what we call in therapy a soft startup. So a soft startup is simply to make your complaint, but don't do it in a critical way. So the difference between a complaint and a criticism is that a complaint is saying, here's a problem, here's an issue, it's very behaviorally described. A criticism is often of the person. You always, you never, I am so upset with you. That's an example of a harsh startup. If you want to start soft, instead you would say, here's something that I've been thinking about. I've been having an issue with us getting to church late on Sunday mornings. Could we talk about that issue of getting to church on time? Okay, what I've done there is I've stated a complaint. It was done in a soft way. It's not going to put the person on the other side of me defensive. Now, let me give you a little sequence that works to make conflict destructive. So if you're doing one of these four things, you really need to rethink the way you're approaching people. The first is that criticism. So if you start with criticism or in the course of your conflict, you are giving a great deal of criticism, it's not going to go well. And you need to really focus on, am I being critical here or am I really just talking about the problem? The second thing is if you get defensive. If you start to feel like you're being attacked or that you're feeling like the other person is overpowering you or there's too much coming at you at one time and you start to get defensive, then what happens is we shut down and we don't hear. And in fact, there's some really good research that shows that if you get overwhelmed emotionally by somebody in a conflict and your heart starts to beat more than 100 beats per minute, and we actually have ways to test this when we're dealing with people in the therapy room. We have these little things that we put on people's fingers and we can measure the number of heartbeats per minute. When you get over 100 heartbeats per minute, what happens is your brain gets flooded and you really cannot think. And people really do not listen to what you're saying at that point. And so you have to, at that point, if you're very defensive, you're feeling emotional, you're feeling like you're approaching that flooded kind of feeling, then you need to stop the conflict, take a time out, just like you would do with a child if you were too upset. You need to do some deep breathing, get yourself calmed down, and then come back to the conflict. The third thing that is really dangerous in relationships is if you're saying things that are contemptuous. Now, what I mean by contempt is if you're making very negative remarks to the person, calling them a loser, telling them they're hateful, saying really mean and what we would consider really verbally abusive kind of behaviors. But also if you're rolling your eyes, you're sighing when the person is talking, you're going, oh, like really, or that sort of whatever type of response, that's a form of mockery of a person. What we know is in healthy relationships, there is not any contempt that is being expressed verbally or non-verbally. But in unhealthy relationships, there is a great deal of contempt in relationships. So we've got criticism that we have to get rid of, defensiveness that we have to get rid of, contempt that we want to make sure there's no contempt going on in that conversation. And then the final one is to make sure we're not putting up a stone wall. And so what people call that is simply stonewalling, because it is like putting up a stone wall. It's when you get so upset in a conversation that you check out and you emotionally disengage. Now, that type of response is a precursor to divorce. So people who emotionally disengage in their conversations, in their dialogues, in their conflict, they begin to emotionally pull back from those people, and eventually those relationships are not usually very intense or together. And sometimes people break up over those kinds of responses. So this is just a quick little way to analyze what's going on when I try to bring up conflict. Am I being critical? Do I get defensive? Do I have forms of contempt? Or do I put up a stone wall and not listen? If you can get rid of those four things, you're going to turn your conflict discussions into a much more positive discussion, and it will grow your relationships. Those four elements that I just described will cause your relationships to be very destructive. So that is one of the ways you can look at your own part of your behavior. Remember, you can't control what other people do or say. People will say hurtful things. They will be contemptuous with you. They will get defensive, but you can control your response. And that's the part that God holds us responsible for. Were we Christ-like in our responses? Were we kind? Were we patient? Were we long-suffering? Did we evidence the fruit of the Spirit? Did we approach people without a harsh startup or what Proverbs calls a word of wrath? Because we know that stirs up anger, and we know that a gentle word calms anger down. If you can look at your part in the conversation and take control of that and make it more Christ-like, conflict will go much better.
What first comes to mind when you hear the words, "We need to talk"?
I would say that either I've done something wrong or something bad has happened. Otherwise, I would just expect them to share with me or talk with me whatever they need to.
We need to talk.
Here we go again.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong.
This is gonna be a long night.
Oh no, not again.
What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, "we need to talk," puts most of us on the defensive. We need to talk takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind "we need to talk" is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mintel's latest book, "We Need to Talk," is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
Conflict is a normal part of our lives and relationships, but the desire to avoid it and the tendency to handle it poorly can get us stuck or even in trouble. Therapist Dr. Linda Mintel expertly leads you through successful conflict management so that you can enjoy more secure and peaceful relationships. She offers real-world advice based on solid research for marriages, parenting, extended family, ex-spouses, blended families, and even friendships. We Need to Talk, available in bookstores and online.
When you hear the words, "we need to talk," what exactly comes to mind?
Well, if it's a person, you know, like a friend of mine, I usually think like, hey, I'm in a bit of a trouble, you know, I need some help. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, I can offer some help. But usually when it's like somebody who usually generally has problems all the time, or like let's say it's in a relationship I have, I usually think that something's going wrong, in which I'm doing something wrong. But generally speaking, I think it's a positive.
Wow, I'm glad to hear that one person at least thinks that there's something positive about those four words, "we need to talk," because that's what we're talking about today. How do we deal with conflict? How do we navigate conflict successfully in our relationships? Angelica says that it's something bad. Oh no, something horrible is about to happen, is her first thought. And Natasha has that same feeling. She wrote in on Facebook, I think, uh-oh, something's going to happen. I think that has been a common sentiment that everybody has somewhat shared. Kaylee says, and she really has an issue, she goes, I really have an issue with those four words. I get paranoid. I hate it when people tell me that. I start to get anxious, and I actually start to panic. And then Andy said what we've heard, again, echoed over and over, oh, goodness, what have I done now? So hopefully, because we've had so many people say that this is so uncomfortable, you're going to get some real specific help with this today. Well, here's the thing. There is a price if we avoid conflict. So obviously, a lot of people don't want to deal with it because it's uncomfortable and because sometimes we don't have a lot of confidence in our skills, or we've had really bad experiences with dealing with conflict with people in our past. But here's the thing that I know from looking at all the research. Initially, when you try to avoid conflict, what happens at the moment is that you do feel less stressed because you're avoiding it. But there's a really interesting study that says the next day you actually feel worse, because even though you avoided it for the moment, the issue is still there and it's still bothering you on another level, either a psychological level, emotional level, or just internally. And you're holding that in on your body, and you have physical symptoms that come with holding in anger or avoiding conflict at a time when you really need to address an issue. We know that people who avoid conflict have a more of a negative well-being. They don't feel as good about themselves as a whole. There actually is a study that says people who avoid conflict live shorter lives. So that's probably not something you've ever thought of. So here's a tip. If you want to have a long life, deal with your conflict and deal with it well. And you can do that because that's what we're doing today. We're talking about that. There's also studies that show if you don't deal with conflict, you get irritable and it simmers below the surface. Now, there is an exception to this. There are some times when it isn't safe to deal with conflict. And in those cases where there might be domestic violence or somebody might be an unsafe person to deal with that, certainly you wouldn't want to deal with conflict unless you had somebody with you. But what I want you to really take away from this as we get near the end of today's time is that a lot of times people will quote Matthew 5:9. And that scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Sometimes we use that verse to say, I'm not going to talk about a problem, or I'm just going to go along with whatever is said. But you need to know that that's not a biblical model. Jesus did not appease people when he needed to address an issue, and he also didn't avoid dealing with things when they came up. So this is not a scriptural approach when you think about conflict by trying to avoid it. Matthew 18 tells us that when we have something against our brother or a sister, we need to go to that person. And then we're told that if we go to that person and we give it a try and we still can't get anyone to really listen to us or to have a good result, we can bring in another person, or what I would call a mediator. And this is the way scripture is telling us to do that. So when you do that, you'll find that you get relief from the offense, that you can actually deal with offense, not hold on to it. It opens up the possibility of reconciliation in a relationship. You can sometimes problem solve the issue, and you can actually find a solution to something that may have been bothering you. But most importantly, when you know that you can deal with the conflicts that come up, you can live in peace. And that's what being a peacemaker is all about, that you go to that person, you deal with the offense, you let go of that anger. And a lot of times that means forgiving people, asking for forgiveness, the other person asking, even if the other person doesn't ask, you ask for forgiveness and you make the first move. So I hope that's a little bit of a help, that we're going to get rid of the negative, the criticism, the defensiveness, the contempt feelings, and the stonewalling. And we're going to do this in a biblical way, which is go to the person, deal with the conflict, start off soft. And if that isn't enough, you need to get the book because I've got a lot of information there. Well, many thanks for all the people here that have helped us today. Our woman on the street, Erica McLeod, our producer, Graham Williams, from all of us here at Faith Radio. We'll talk to you next week. And in the meantime, remember that every Saturday we are here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Talk to you next week.
The Dr. Linda Mintel Show is a production of WWMC Radio, Lynchburg, Virginia.